All right, folks, Eurofolk Radio is on the air. This is Yahweh's Covenant People, Pastor Eli James, along with Pastor Steve. And folks, we're going to actually begin a series now on the proper use of language, starting with tonight's show is going to be what time is the beginning of the biblical day? When is the beginning of the biblical day, along with other matters related to that, including times and seasons, and we'll be concluding with the correct analysis of the appearance at the first advent, and we might even get a little into the second advent, because all of this, let's call it astronomical timing and astronomical language contained in Scripture, gives us clues as to when these things are going to happen. So, Pastor Steve, I know that, here, let me just put it this way. There are four different groups of interpreters, four different interpretations of when the Hebrew day starts. Of course, most of us in solar calendar land, but not all of us, have stuck with the evening to evening. I know there are solar calendar practitioners who follow noon to noon and also morning to morning. So there's at least three different groups who believe at different daytime starts. We can rule out the midnight to midnight, which is common today. That was probably invented by a Jewish witch. But so we have three candidates. We have evening to evening, noon to noon, and morning to morning. Your comment on this disparity within identity.
All right. Well, this is going to upset some people. And I want you to listen and not explode. Not everything that the Jews do is wrong.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Who they are and what they are doing. They are trying to steal our birthright.
Yeah, they're not wrong about everything.
They are impersonators, and they have to mix in
error with truth.
A little truth to little make truth. Their lies plausible.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
They adopted the evening to evening, which was an Israelite custom in the mindset of the nomadic tribesmen of the day.
Okay.
Because we were not, the Hebrew mindset in those days was not as the Anglo-Saxon mindset in modern society.
Yes, of course.
We were different back then. They've got all this disparity coming from other offshoots of religion. The morning to morning thing, that's the work day that we use now.
Okay.
And that they started to adopt. But the traditional Israelite day began after the evening when full dark hit. That started the next day.
Okay.
Whatever time, because that's when their next day started.
Yes.
It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to match the modern work ethic and the modern time schedule. It wasn't modern times back then. They used a different ideology of things. They had different ideas than we do now. They lived a completely different lifestyle.
Well, they had different traditions, and obviously,
and now, when they talk about evening, that's the sunset, the twilight, when the sun is just touching the horizon.
Yeah.
The last light of the day was Ereb. Sunset, evening. Now,
okay,
we have a number of passages in Scripture where they say between the two evenings.
Okay.
That is a Hebrew idiom. That is not a literal translation.
Okay.
And here is the Brown Driver Briggs Gesenius lexicon. Dubious in phrase. Between the two evenings, in example, that's i.e. probably between sunset and dark. There are various views fully given, and it lists the passages. But it is an idiomatic usage.
Okay.
So there are no two evenings.
Okay. All right. Well, between let's assume that it's to be taken literally, between the two evenings. And I can see where many in identity have read this. They probably got it from Brown Driver Briggs Gesenius, because it's stated right here on page 788 of my copy. I'm sure yours is identical.
Yes, sir.
Between the two evenings. And this is a definition B. So a lot of people will take this literally and say, well, the Hebrew word Ereb means between the two evenings. But you just pointed out here that the abbreviation DU period stands for dubious.
Dubious in phrase. It is an idiomatic usage, not a literal usage.
Okay.
That is correct.
Right. But let's take it literally. Between the two evenings. So if we take it literally, it can only mean from what I'm reading here, from evening to evening, meaning 24 hours.
Yeah.
That would have to be the literal reading of what it means, from sunset to sunset.
Well, if we go to what the Israelites were doing at the first use of that phrase, they're getting ready to leave Egypt. And it was talking about slaughtering the Passover.
Okay.
They did not take 24 hours. They had to leave.
Okay. Okay.
In haste.
Yes.
And they had to cut the throats.
Right.
They had to bleed them out. They roasted them whole. They did not skin or gut those lambs.
Right. Okay. I wasn't planning on going there for today's show, but since you brought it up, the fact is that the Israelites had to select the lambs for slaughter because it had to be eaten the evening of Abib 14. So they had to select the lamb on Abib 13 or earlier if they had the opportunity.
They were given warning.
Yes.
They were given warning to do this,
right.
And they did that during the daylight hours.
And that is referred to in the New Testament as, actually in the Old Testament as well, as the preparation day.
That is correct.
The preparation day was Abib 13, and in my research here, I have discovered, and we'll get into this in the following shows, maybe tonight, but there's all kinds of confusion as to which day is the preparation day. Some even argue that it's Passover day, but it can't be Passover day because the lamb had to be roasted and be ready to be eaten at sunset of Abib 14. Is that not correct?
That's correct. And the women had to clean all their dwellings.
Oh, yeah,
get
rid of
all leaven out of their dwellings.
Yes.
They were doing that while the men were gathering the sheep. They had different duties.
And that
you
had
can't
to be
have
done.
Any comets, which is leaven, or anything made with comets in your dwelling. That was very specific.
Right. And so that
we
had
have
to be
the
done.
Passover preparation day today.
Yes.
When we clean our closets and wipe them out, make sure all the bread is thrown out. If you have toothpaste with leaven in it, you have to throw it out.
Toothpaste?
There's leaven in some of the toothpaste. There's a big list on the internet that you can download with everything that has leaven in it. And I follow that. I get rid of everything. I clean it out.
I see. Okay. Well,
I don't even buy bread the week before Passover. I have only matzah here.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I clean my because it takes me, at my age, it takes me more time to clean everything. I have to take everything out of the closets, wherever I've had anything leavened, and clean those kitchen cabinets. Because there can be no leaven in my household.
Right.
That's a commandment.
Right. So preparation day was Abib 13, and more than likely the Israelites began getting rid of the lemon several days ahead of time. And actually, the Bible clearly says that Abib 10 was the day that the Israelites selected the lamb, and they tied it to a bedpost, as I understand, if they had a bedpost.
Yeah, and kept they had to keep them close, and they had to be specific lambs without blemish.
Right, males without blemish. They had to be males without blemish, okay? And so the Israelites, in preparation for Passover, they had Abib 10, 11, 12, and 13, those 4 days to get ready, in which they selected the lamb and cleaned the house and got rid of all the leaven. Otherwise, they would have a faulty Passover on Abib 14, right?
Well, yeah, and they also had to pack. They had to pack up all their stuff, everything owned that they were going to take with them on this journey.
Right.
They had to make ready, and then that evening, when the angel of death was going through, they had to stay in the houses. They had to have that blood on the lintel and the doorpost, and anybody that didn't have that, the firstborn of that house, died.
Right. So from evening to evening, from the evening of Abib 14, when they smeared the blood on the lintels and also had the Passover meal, they probably went to bed, and at some point in the night, the Egyptian firstborn were all killed.
Yep, and they left the next day because there were millions of them. They had them. And the mixed multitude that caused all the problems, the non-Israelites, because even the Israelites had slaves because they were slaves. They had slaves, because they were considered subhuman. They were just animals.
Right.
And they took them with them.
Yeah.
And they had miles of Israelites going through.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have automobiles and pickup trucks and stuff like that. They were carrying stuff on their back, their pack animals, carts.
Camels,
I mean, horses, this is donkeys. The whole land of Goshen left.
That's right. At least 2 million, most historians will say 2 to 2.5 million people got up and left. That is a lot of people.
And then the Hyksos who were in charge had to bury their dead.
Right.
They had to embalm them. They took some time for Pharaoh to get his act together to go after them.
Sure.
He didn't just immediately let's go get no.
Yeah.
They were just an emotional wreck after this death.
Oh, absolutely.
They had to get rid of all those people.
That's right.
They had to
put
them in the ground.
So the bloodletting by Yahweh's angels killing the firstborn gave the Israelites time to escape, basically. We can put it that way. And they almost caught up with them at the Red Sea, but not quite.
if you'll remember, he diverted them to a different path than they were going to do. He says, no, you turn and you go this way. He wanted the Egyptians to catch up to him.
Okay.
Because he was going to do his last miracle of wreaking the wrath on that Pharaoh and destroying his army, thus destroying the power of the Hyksos in Mitzrayim.
Yes.
And he wanted to show everybody what he was going to do when he parted the waters of the Sea of Reeds. Well, not the Red Sea, it's the Sea of Reeds. That's another mistranslation. And then they mounted up these great big walls of water, and the Israelites walked through on dry ground.
Right, dry
and
shod.
They were coming up the other side, this huge train of Israelites, and the Egyptians were pursuing them while they were still in that trough between the waters.
Right.
And then when all the Egyptians finally got in there, he dropped the water from the back of the Egyptians down on the Egyptians. And by the time all the water fell on them and drowned them, the Israelites had made it up the other bank and were watching all of this.
Right, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one good movie by Charlton Heston.
We are children that Yahweh has protected all down through time. And
oh, yes,
we
he
are
has.
Still,
yeah.
We're still hard-headed and rebellious. I mean, what does it take?
Right, right.
I mean, all you right. can imagine those people saw all of that, and still they rebelled at Mount Sinai.
Right, right. Now it's interesting. It's interesting that the lunar calendar reckoners they argue that there had to be a full moon because they would require the full moon, the light of the full moon to see by. Okay.
No, they didn't leave at night.
Okay.
They left during an entire day.
Okay, so sometime during that first day of Abib 14, obviously they had to get some rest. So they had the meal.
No, actually, they were commanded to be dressed.
Okay.
Have their staff and their weapons. They went out armed.
Okay.
From Mitzrayim.
Right. Okay. Right
when
after
they were done eating that, it says, "Don't leave anything until the morning, and whatever is left, you burn with fire." So they didn't leave until the next morning.
Okay. All
right. That tells you that right there.
So those who could get some sleep.
It took a whole bunch of time to get that many people and get out of the occupied area.
So those who could get some sleep probably tried to get some sleep, but by the next morning they had to ship out. They had to ship out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's get back now to the three remaining daytime starts. We have noon to noon. We have morning to morning, that are the sunrise to sunrise, and we have evening to evening, which is sunset to sunset. Okay.
That's right.
Now quoting from the article I wrote, Yahweh Solar Calendar at AngloSaxonIsrael.com, where I quote Pastor Lent, and he quotes Genesis 1:14 and Genesis 1:18, and referring to the luminaries. He says, first, in order to be a luminary, the person or thing spoken of must be the source of light, not just the reflected light from the source. Applying the Urim lights, we find there are two greater sign luminaries. Applying the Thummim, and those two greater sign luminaries would be the sun and the stars, not the moon. Applying the Thummim to expand, we see these are the vernal equinox, the autumnal equinox, the two greater sign luminaries simultaneously, and I would say we could also say the solstices, the four corners of the calendar, okay, each 91st day. The two greater sign luminaries simultaneously rule over, regulate the length of the day and regulate the length of the night, darkness, okay? And Pastor Lent comments, any debate as to whether the lights of the firmament, the sun and the stars, were created for the purpose of dividing the day from day can ultimately be put to rest by reading the double witness of Genesis 1:14, namely Genesis 1:18, which tells us that the purpose of these lights are to divide the light from darkness. Okay? So, So dividing the light from darkness, in the daytime the sun shines, and at night the stars shine. That's the division.
You want me to read that from the Hebrew?
Go ahead.
All right. This is verse 14 of Genesis 1. This is Hebrew, and then I will read it in English. Vayomer Elohim yahi me'orof barika hashmayim lahabdil bein hayom ubein halayla v'hayo l'otot ulemoadim uleyomim v'shanim. Said Allah Elohim, let there be luminaries, 3974, in the dome, Rekia, of the sky, number 7549, to separate between day and between the night. Yomim is the day, and night is 3915, Halayla.
Halayla.
Ha is the article, which means the, and Layla is night, the night.
Okay.
Bain ha yom, ubain ha Layla. And for appointed times, okay,
mm-hmm.
that will be a for a sign. Wahayu, it will be 1961, Lootot 226, for a sign, Ulamoadim 4150, appointed times.
Okay, appointed times.
And for days, Ula Yomim, that is Yom plural, 3117, and years, Wishanim 8141. Okay. And verse 18, that is always in question, let the Hebrew just nail it.
Okay.
Walimishol Bayom Ubalela. Ola habdil bain haor ubain hakoshek. Wayare Elohim ki tob. And to rule by day and by night, and to separate between the light, haor, and between ubain,
the darkness,
hakoshek.
Okay.
Okay. And saw Elohim that it was good. Wayare saw Elohim ki that tob. It was good.
Okay.
2896.
Okay.
Now, so, it does not say and.
Right? The stars.
Yeah, it right. does not have the word gom in it. That is verse 16.
Uh-huh, okay.
Wayas Elohim et Shnei Hamoroth made Elohim two luminaries, 3974, Hagedolim, the larger, et Hamor.
Which is the sun. It can only be the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Hagadol, lememeshelet, Hayom ve'et hama'or hakaton, that's the smaller.
Right.
Lememeshelet, that's to rule.
Okay.
4475. Halayla, that's the night. Ve'et hakokabim.
Okay.
The stars. It does not
the
say hakokabim and ve'et gam.
Also.
That would be also. The word also is not in there.
That's right. That was added
so
by the translators. Yes.
Sun to rule okay. the day and the stars to rule the light because the moon
okay.
does not generate its own light. It,
it
is a
not.
Reflector, not a luminary.
Okay, so we have two reasons now to reject the moon as a sign object. As a sign object in the sky. Number one, it does not rule over either night or day.
It goes because, dark at times.
Yeah, well, it goes totally dark at the new moon, for one thing, which
yeah.
the stars don't do, right?
Right, plus, they shine all the time.
Yeah, plus the moon can shine during the daytime, or it can reflect light during the daytime. So it does not rule over either one, nor does it provide its own light. Therefore, it cannot be a ruler of either day or night. Correct?
Correct.
Wouldn't that
Starlight
be correct?
Starlight is the light of other
yes.
suns like ours.
That's right. That's right.
That we are seeing that,
so,
that come through space because light goes all over.
Yeah, yeah. So understanding the true meaning of the Hebrew words completely rules out the moon from any consideration as a ruler of night precisely because the moon is not even mentioned here. Is it?
That's correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
It's only implied by false translation.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's what we've got going here, folks. So now from my article, although Pastor Lent uses these verses to argue against the noon to noon day reckoning, I cite it as an affirmation that the moon does not divide the light from the darkness since it can reflect light during the daytime or nighttime. Ironically, the new moon does not shine at all, so it is definitely not luminous when the Babylonian calendar takes it into consideration, which is the lunar calendar. It's a Babylonian calendar, not a Hebrew calendar. So now let's the next instance of noon to noon, and we want to here argue against the noon to noon reckoning, in the section entitled When Does the Day Begin? Here we have three choices: evening to evening, that is sunset to sunset, noon to noon, and sunrise to sunrise. And a lot of people want sunrise to sunrise because it seems the most logical to them. But there are several scriptures in the Bible that say, what seemeth right unto a man is not what Yahweh deems to be correct, right? It may seem reasonable to us, but that's not the the way Yahweh has designed it. Let me go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And the earth was without, or had become, is the correct translation. And the earth had become without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, in verses 2 and 3, we see that the darkness preceded the light. This is the way, and then the very first day, at verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day, or first yom, okay? Which yom. Cannot...
Period,
which can't,
period yeah. of time.
Yeah, it's
age
not...
A, or age.
Yes,
or
eon era.
Translated in the Greek as eon.
That's right, that's right. It does not mean a 24-hour day. That is a totally miscalculated interpretation. Does not mean day, 24-hour day. So the expression here, the evening and the morning, if you take it literally, it's only 12 hours. Okay? But what's really going on here is that evening and morning is an idiom for a complete age, from the transition from darkness into light. As if you plant a seed in the ground, the seed has to... It germinates with the moistness and the dirt and the nutrients provided for in the soil until eventually it breaks forth up into the atmosphere, where only then does it see daylight. Okay, so the symbolism is from darkness into night, and we, of course, as Israelites, and of course this is true of all mammals, you are bred in the darkness of the womb, literally where the sun don't shine, right? Until you're born.
Boy.
Until you're born, right? And then you see, that's the first time you see sunlight. And so this symbolism of transitioning from darkness into light is what the Bible, you know, maintains throughout. Not correct? Your thoughts?
Well, we've got comments in the chat room that I need to address. I hate to break the train of thought.
Okay. I'll take a look.
And it came to be at midnight, smote Yahweh all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim.
Okay.
From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of beasts. And rose up Pharaoh in the night, he and all his servants and all of Mitzrayim. And there was a great cry in Mitzrayim because there were not a house where there was not one dead. Of course, the house of the Israelites, there were none dead.
Right.
And he called he for Moshe and Aharon by night and said, rise up and go forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve Yahweh as you have said. And also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone and bless me also. And they were urgent on them.
Uh-huh.
And they had to pack up that night.
Right, okay.
Okay. Yes. And they plundered the Mitzrayim and all that other stuff, and mongrel peoples and all that stuff.
Right.
And it came to, verse 41, and it came to be at the end of the 430 years, even the same day.
Right.
It came to be that all the armies, 6635, of Yahweh went out from the land of Mitzrayim. Now, verse 42, it is a night very much to be observed, Yahweh, for bringing them out from the land of Mitzrayim. This is that night of Yahweh to be observed by all the children of Israel in their posterity.
Yes, and that would be a Bib 14.
The bringing out was a process involving the slaughter of the firstborn.
Yeah,
the bringing out was not a 1 hour or 2 hour or 1 day thing. They had to pack up and leave.
Okay.
And while they were leaving, the Mitzrayim were burying their dead.
They left
during the day in the morning because they told them to leave at night and they had to pack up. Well, they were already pretty much packed up.
Right, okay.
But taking several million people out was in the daytime.
Yeah.
It was not at night. It does not say they were brought out at night.
Right. Well, some of them could have started out at night. You know,
Could have, because if you're taking, if they were ready.
Yeah, if they were ready.
But it took a long process to get several million people
organized
to go out.
At least 2 million. At least 2 million people, probably
that's
2.5 million.
That's a herd of folks there.
That's a herd of people.
So
that's right.
They
right.
left the next day.
All right. Now, the night
when the slaughter began was the beginning of the bringing out.
Yes.
The bringing out did not occur in a short period of time. The bringing out took days because they had to go beyond the border of Mitzrayim.
Right. Okay, now because the timing of all this is actually reflected in the passion of the Messiah.
That is correct.
And
it was
also
a short process.
Right. Also, and I believe that the passion of Messiah began with the kiss of Judas on the cheek of Messiah, which reflects the 3 days and three nights spoken of by Yeshua when he referred to the ordeal of Jonas being swallowed by the whale. Here again, we see Jonas being swallowed by the whale going into intense darkness.
That is correct.
There can't be any. The sun don't shine down there, folks, inside the belly of a whale. Okay.
No, sure.
But then he was spat up on the shore, and they saw the daylight again. Here we see again the darkness first, and the light coming afterwards. Just as we Israelites come from the darkness of Judeo-Christianity today into the light of identity, right?
Right.
Into the second coming. So the symbolism. All the symbolism fits perfectly with the darkness first and light coming second, making a day from evening to evening. Okay? So far, so good? All right. So Camp Char asks, when did they start roasting the lamb? All right. So I would say that the women, you know, if the men hadn't had the... slaughtered and skinned the lamb already, that would be part
of
the preparation.
They didn't skin the lamb. They did not skin the lamb.
No, not this?
No.
Okay.
No, read the text.
Okay.
It said you will cook it with its head, with its legs. You will not skin it. You will cook it with its inner organs.
Okay. Wow.
They just dumped the lamb on the fire. They
burnt
the hair off of it. They did not skin it. All they did was cut the throat and drain the blood.
Okay.
And they put the blood in bowls to put on the lintels and the doorposts.
So it was all done in haste. Okay.
They didn't have time to put leaven in their bread. They had unleavened bread, and that's why we eat unleavened bread.
Right.
For the first journey.
But future generations of Israelites would have taken the time they were instructed to burn bones, burn entrails, get rid of all the whatever
the original Passover is not identical with the celebration of the feasts.
Okay, very good. Yeah, that's something we need to clarify, and we'll talk about that later.
It's a separate, hurried process.
Yes.
They just burnt that poor lamb, and they ate it, and some of it may have been half raw. They didn't take a lot of time. They were fully dressed. They had their staves in their hand, had their swords girded on their side. Their loins were girded, which means they had their battle dress on. And that's why it says the armies of Yahweh left. They left Mitzrayim armed.
Uh-huh. Okay, so taking the scenario that we have at this point, evening to evening, what is the word evening? Where does that derive from? What's the Hebrew word for evening?
That is Ereb.
Okay.
That word is Ereb.
Okay. So an Ereb Well, here, let's go back to the Gesenius, the Brown driver Briggs Gesenius, on page 787.
787.
Okay, it says sunset.
Sunset.
Evening.
That's when the sun is just touching, beginning to go below the horizon. That is the sunset.
Okay.
Evening. Originally sunset.
Right.
And hence, perhaps at the time of sunset.
Sunset. Okay. All right. So time of sunset, evening, in the evening of, and it gives many citations.
At the turn of evening, when it turns to twilight, before full dark.
Before full dark. Okay. Now we have, I think, two verses in Scripture that irrefutably tell us that this was at evening. We have Deuteronomy.
Going down of the sun.
Yeah, the going down of the sun in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13. Mm-hmm. And I think it's verse 15 or 18. I'm not sure. I'll have to turn there momentarily. But it talks about the sun, the gates of Jerusalem being closed at before the start of the Sabbath as the sun was going down. Okay.
That's right, because the sun, the Sabbath began at sundown. When it turns full dark, that is the start of the next day.
Right. Okay. So is there any way to confuse this language that talks about the gates of Jerusalem being closed as the sun is going down?
The problem lies in the translations that people are reading.
Okay.
And the people not understanding or knowing Hebrew or the idioms or figures of speech or metaphors, they don't spend the year studying the Hebrew. And they're taking these mistranslations and they have no way of knowing whether they're accurate or not because they don't have the research material.
Yes, and
is the problem. Okay. And then you have the Jews with the tampering and the changing of the dates because our calendar that we use, Eli, is not the same as the Jewish rabbinical Babylonian calendar.
Right.
Our solar calendar was mentioned in the book of Enoch. Shar has done a bang-up job of illustrating that. She's done all the math. I have found no flaws in what she has done. And it's fully explained, and still people want to argue and fuss and fight.
All right. I've got Nehemiah 13:19 in front of me, and it states, "And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark," began to be dark.
Correct.
That means it was transitioning from daytime to nighttime, okay?
Right, the long shadows were being cast. The sun was right at the horizon, and it cast those long shadows.
Right, okay.
That's dusk.
That's okay, so the Hebrew
that
word
is
here...
the Reb.
Well, the Hebrew word for dark here is H6751, talal, which means to shade. Okay, so in other words, to be...
Right.
Begin to be dark, shadowing, okay?
Right, the long shadows that I
That's
mentioned.
The long shadows, exactly.
That's correct.
Began to be dark before the Sabbath. I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath, okay? Why? Because the Israelites were doing business with the non-Israelites during the Sabbath day, and Nehemiah was upset about it and says, "Hey, we're not supposed to be doing business on the Sabbath. I'm going to shut the gates at nighttime so you can't do business with these outsiders." Right?
And he ran them off and he said, "If you keep coming here,
I'll kill
we're
you.
We're going to lay hands on you."
Right?
In other words, we're going to put a whooping on you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's what laying hands on means, right?
Exactly. Right? So, can this verse be taken in any other sense other than to mean that at sunset, the gates were closed for the Sabbath.
That is a very literal, matter of fact, no holds barred translation right there.
Okay.
That's what it says.
All right, so now Deuteronomy 16:6. But at the place which Yahweh thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening. Or at even, it says in this translation. Uh-huh. And that's H6153 Arab, right? That's the E-R-E-B, not A-R-A-B, even though they have a similar sense in becoming dark, right?
Ki im hamakom asher yibakar Yahweh Eloheka l'shaken shumo, his name, sham, there, tizabak et ha-pesach ba-areb, 6153, kabo ha-shemesh, the going of the sun, 935 can mean going. Or coming,
okay.
Or to come to, a person came to Moshe, or went. It has number of uses, but in the context,
right,
is how you use it. Kabol HaShemesh Moed Seteka Mimitzrayim.
Okay.
But at Moed. The place, Ki Im Hamakom, the place, which Yahweh Eloheka shall choose, Asher Yibikar, 9:7 said, which shall that shall choose,
right.
Yahweh Eloheka.
Yes,
to
okay.
To establish Leshakin, 7931, his name, Shmo, there, Sham, you shall slaughter. To Zebach 2076.
Okay.
The Passover et HaPesach at evening.
Arab.
Ba'areb or Arab.
Uh-huh.
6153 at the going down 935 Kabo the of the sun HaShemesh
okay.
The sun HaShemesh 8121. At the appointed time,
right.
Moed
is the appointment, 50, right?
That you came forth, Setheka 3318, from Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim 4714.
Right. So, in other words, you shall duplicate the what happened in Mitzrayim in Egypt.
That's right. The
for
going
the Passover.
Down.
In other words, you shall duplicate, and you know, we know, of course, that this means from generation to generation until the coming of Messiah, that the Israelites were to duplicate this process at the appointed time every year.
That's right.
And it says that the Passover at evening at the going down of the sun. All right?
Correct.
Okay, so how can this be noon to noon or morning to morning? If we're talking about the shadows getting long before the Sabbath, before the sun goes down, and at the going down of the
correct.
Sun. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So yes, can there be any doubt that the Hebrew day begins at sunset? Can there be any doubt given what we've talked
about?
That
is why in my translations I have the page of English on the left and the Hebrew with the Strong's numbers on the right. You can't argue with the Hebrew. It says what it says.
Okay.
And you have to learn the Hebrew.
Right.
That's why I have two versions of it. I have the standard version for people that don't understand Hebrew with just the English. It's smaller.
Okay.
And then I have the pastor's version because if you're a pastor, you should be able to study and learn a lot of the Hebrew. And I have it in there with the strong numbers so they can look it up. And I have the big pastor's version with twice as many pages. That's
right.
Why I have two versions of it.
Okay, so now in definition B, we briefly discussed it earlier, but I want to bring it up again in order to rule it out. That be dubious in phrase between the two evenings. Apparently some translations use this phrase for Arab, but and it presumably or probably between sunset and dark. So even if we use this phrase between the two evenings, they're saying it's between sunset and dark.
Yes,
not between
in an idiomatic usage, if you read
right.
the rest of it. Thessalonians, various views fully given.
Right.
Otherwise, and it gives a bunch of references with, right. which most of the people wouldn't understand.
Right.
Because
okay.
they don't speak the language and it's in Hebrew.
Right. But so. I've heard the argument that what this really means is noon. Because it's the evening that is the dividing time between morning and afternoon. In other words, evening the daytime at noon. But that's
dividing. Because they don't understand the Hebrew idioms.
Okay.
It's lack of knowledge, and they're trying to make literal
okay.
and idiomatic usage.
Okay.
Like here in the South. You go to a restaurant and you eat this meal and they serve a particular dish and you'll hear a guy say, "Man, that's fire." they were served burning charcoal? No, it's an idiomatic usage. Yeah. It's a figure of speech,
right.
a local thing of those people that live in that area.
Right.
Well, this is a figure of speech of the Israelites in those times.
Right, right. Well, now, all this is very interesting in that, number one, that Abib 14 as Passover is a special Sabbath. It's not a regular
yes.
Sabbath. The 15th
is a festival Sabbath. Okay, that is a high holy day.
Right. Now, you could argue, and now normally we're not supposed to work on Sabbath days, but this is not actually work. This is preparation to flee from Pharaoh's armies.
Well, it was not a Sabbath at that time. It was declared a Sabbath
later.
They had to do the act
right.
in order to make it a high
okay.
holy day.
Yes, this is important to understand that even during the 40 years of wandering in the desert, the Israelites did not practice these feast days. The feast days were only practiced once they crossed the Jordan River and took over the Palestine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the place that he shall choose to put his name.
Okay.
Wound
Jerusalem.
Up. Jerusalem.
There you go. Right.
And that's where they didn't
yes.
have a temple. They just took the top of that mountain.
Right.
And they put up this great big tent in the tabernacle up there that they've been
yeah.
carrying around. And only until Solomon's time,
uh-huh.
when Solomon built the first temple,
right.
they had
right.
the original tent.
Right. Okay. So what I'm trying to say here is that the actual day of Passover and the first Sabbath Sabbath day after Abib 14 being Abib 15, none of this is all presaging the coming of the Levitical priesthood and the actual celebration of the feast days, which did not occur until 40 years later because they were eating manna in the desert.
Yeah, that's
they were,
right.
They
didn't
sacrificed.
Have lambs.
They didn't have lambs. They were eating manna.
They got quail one time
right?
until they vomited it. They had so many quail.
Right.
He said, "I'm sick of hearing you complain. Here, eat this."
Yeah, right.
And then they just got flooded with quail.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Oh,
you want whiskey?
Man,
here, I'll make it.
Another
drink.
Quail. Oh, no.
Right. So they got sick of that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Complain. That's that mixed multitude that went with them.
Right. So everything that happened in the desert is kind of a preparation or presage of things to come, which were not instituted until Joshua, because Moses was not allowed to cross the Jordan River until
no.
Joshua and the Levitical priesthood instituted it later.
That is
right.
correct.
Okay.
That's
okay.
correct. Aharon was taken because of the golden calf.
Right.
And because he helped Moshe smite the rock instead of speak to the rock, there were two occurrences with a rock.
Yes.
The first time he was instructed to smite the rock, he did. Out came water. The second time he was told to speak to the rock in the name of Yahweh and glorify Yahweh, and he was angry at the people, "You rebels," and he hit the rock twice with a staff, and Yahweh said, "Because you did not honor me and do what I told you to give me the glory, because all you had to do was utter my name to that rock, and it would have split and given you water,
right.
you're not going
okay.
in the promised land. Even though you were my chosen prophet for all these years,
right.
you set a bad example for the people. Right.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So, and now there's got to be a totally different word for morning or sunrise in the Hebrew. Is that not a completely different word?
The coming of
Koreb?
The sun.
What's the word? Koreb?
The Shemesh. Shemesh is the sun.
Okay.
There are words that precede that, the ascending of the sun,
okay,
the coming of the sun, the ascending and rising are the same words.
Okay.
The going forth of the sun, the going up.
Right.
Which can also mean come forth from the land of that word. They have
from
multiple
east.
Uses.
Right. It means east always too, because that's where the sun rises, in the east.
Yeah, that's Kedem.
Okay.
That's all the right, land of the east.
All right, now what's the word for sunrise in Hebrew? Isn't it something like Korab?
It all has Shemesh,
okay,
but they use different words for the action of the sun coming up.
Okay.
There's a number of words that cover that.
Okay, but it's not Ereb.
Ereb is always evening. It never has any use but that.
Okay. So
it means the dusk.
Okay.
Right before dark. Now there are offshoots of that root that mean dusky people.
Okay.
They changed the spelling and came up with Arab.
Yes.
Which means dusky ones.
Right. And you're right.
All
dusk
comes from that word Arab, which
because,
is the root word for dusk.
Because Arab means dusk. The Arab, the E-R-E-B, translates into A-R-A-B, meaning to grow dusky or have dark skin.
They are dusky people. People.
Right. So even the word Arab reflects the original Hebrew meaning of Ereb, E-R-E-B. Okay.
Correct. That's the root.
So we have several metaphorical reasons and several literal reasons for arguing for the Hebrew day beginning at dusk or sunset or evening and not at any other time. Okay.
That's correct. It was their way back then.
Yes.
It does not connect to what we do now.
Yes. Right.
It doesn't make sense to us. Well, the day begins when we have daylight savings time, so we can work during the day.
Right.
Not then. This is now.
This is
a different time period, and we have become a different people of Israel. We are modern. We live in cities. We don't wander around tending flocks of sheep.
Right. Okay, now Pastor Lent has this to say in addition about the noon to noon reckoning. Referring back to Genesis 1:18, by simply remembering this verse alone, we are made aware that Yahweh's word overcomes any attempt on the part of the noon Sabbath holders to change the meaning of the basic words such as evening, day, morning, night, or any other word they would twist to support this ill-conceived doctrine. The noon Sabbath was part of the Baal priests' sun worship thousands of years ago. Your comment?
Yes, sir. The sun god, Tammuz, we worship on Sunday.
Right.
And we have a sun pillar
and
on
Saturn
top of the
day,
church,
Saturn's
on top
day.
Of the church.
Right.
And we celebrate Ishtar Sunday.
Right.
Who was Tammuz, the mother of Tammuz, and his lover.
Uh-huh.
His consort.
Right.
Ew.
Semiramis. Right.
Ew.
Right. Or Ishtar.
Can you say
by
Oedipus?
Yeah. Goes,
I love you, mommy. Literally. Oh, no.
No, don't go there.
Don't go there. No.
Don't go there. Don't go. All right. So given these considerations, and in writing this article, I wanted to be fair to all sides because, you know, first of all, I didn't want to add fuel to any possible schism. But this dispute again is very similar to the oneness versus Trinity dispute that's been going on for thousands of years. Okay, but clearly from the definitions of the words in the Hebrew, such as Arab, and the words such as the going down of the sun, right, and the shadows getting longer before the Sabbath. Can we rationally consider the other two options, namely morning to morning or noon to noon?
Well, there's always this dispute about the first part of Genesis. The evening and the morning were the day.
Okay.
First of all, day in that part of Genesis does not mean a 24-hour day.
Okay.
That means an age.
Right.
And it means the end of one age and the beginning of another age.
Right, right. So we're talking...
They're trying to literalize an idiomatic usage of the Hebrew. The people don't know
right.
the Hebrew. And that's all I've done for the past 15 years right. is study Hebrew.
Right. Right. So the vast majority, I agree, the vast majority of Bible interpreters, I don't want to call them scholars, but Bible interpreters of the Judeo-Christian variety, generally all of them take the Yom of Genesis 1 to be 24-hour days, which creates all kinds of problems. Namely, the first being that the sun and the moon and the stars didn't appear until the fourth day. Okay?
Well, they have an agenda they're trying to promote.
Right.
People forget that.
Yeah, right. So we're talking about eras or ages or eons.
And
it's hard to say. You can't put an exact time on any one of these eons. You just can't. Right?
No. Yahweh invented the laws of physics.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay, it takes so long in time to create all this stuff.
Right.
Now, who is bound by time? Yahweh is not bound by time.
Yeah. Yes.
And we are. And it says clearly in many spots in the Bible that a 1,000 years is as one day to Yahweh.
Yeah. Okay.
Whose concept of time are we talking about?
Right, right. Okay, so we only have a couple minutes left. I just want to address one issue really quickly. Depending on which time of day you start the day, there can be problems with the starting of the actual year from the spring equinox. Okay, so if you go from noon to noon, or morning to morning, or evening to evening, you're going to start the new year at a different time. Maybe not every single year, but there will be years where the first full day after the spring equinox, if you're going from evening to evening, will differ from noon to noon or morning to morning. So you're going to actually start the day, start the year at a different day. So we want to be consistent. Well, we want to be consistent.
Our calendar explains all of that, all about the Maseroth and all of that stuff. Shara has done all the math. It's mathematics.
Right.
Yahweh invented mathematics.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Okay, so given all these considerations, in my article, I advise people to go with the evening-to-evening reckoning because that's what the biblical language indicates. And not just, I don't want to be absolutist about it, but when you talk about evening being comparable to the going down of the sun and the shadows becoming longer before the gates are closed, before the Sabbath.
That leaves little doubt, doesn't it?
It doesn't leave much doubt as to what evening and Arab really mean. Okay.
We're coming up on the end of it here.
Yes,
Eli.
Yes. Okay.
All right,
I think we've done this subject justice, and we'll continue this subject with how the feast days are supposed to be celebrated and how Jonah's episode and the actual sacrifice of the Christ took place and how it relates to this timing. Okay? Very important for us to understand.
I love it.
Oh, it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Shalom aleichem, all my brothers and sisters.
Yahweh bless.